In this episode, we are going to talk all about how to build margin into your life to help free yourself from overwhelm. We're going to talk about how to identify when you're feeling like your margin has been squeezed and why it's so important to build in that margin. And of course, providing you with tips and our lived experience of how we create margin in our lives. Now, I have to tell you kind of a funny story to kick this off, because for those of you watching our podcast episodes on YouTube, there may be a bit of an awkward beginning, because as life likes to teach you what you're teaching, we didn't have or allow enough margin or space on one of our devices. And so for the first 10 minutes of the episode, while Chris and I were talking, it was not recording Chris, the video portion of it. We tried to cut out some of it and we decided to leave what was imperative. So I just want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for pressing play. Thank you for seeing us as human and realizing that we're literally sharing our life and our experiences and learning as we go. So margin is so important, as you will see in this episode. Friends, let's get into it. You're listening to Radiant Womanhood, the podcast for multi-passionate women who are ready to shake off their limitations, dream big, and live fully. I'm Tabitha Blue, a wife, mom of six, author, life coach, and entrepreneur, and I know firsthand the challenges women can experience when it comes to balancing life's demands, staying true to yourself, and navigating the many curveballs life can throw. And guess what? I'm obsessed with helping you navigate all the crazy seasons of this thing called life with confidence and grace. Join me each week as I delve into topics from habit making to goal setting, career balancing to relationship nurturing, and everything in between, helping you get out of your own way and embody the radiance within. So grab your headphones, shut out the distractions, and get ready to shine. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Radiant Womanhood. I have my husband in the studio with me. Welcome back, babe.
I'm so glad to be back.
It's good to have you here. The last episode that you were on was phenomenal, and we had a lot of really good response to it. And so wanted to have you back in. Of course, you know, you were like, okay, if the episodes aren't good, just scrap them.
Hey, we'll record honest.
Them, but scrap them if we need to. But
well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I guess we're okay.
But there's a lot of good stuff, and you got a lot of good stuff in you to share. And I think that we have something that's really good to talk about right now. And I think that sometimes life gives us the lessons that we're trying to teach, or the lessons that we need to teach, or even that we have been teaching. And so what we're talking about today is something that we've talked about like a plethora of times. and yet, it feels like life is teaching us this lesson again ourselves.
It's always reminding. Well, it goes back to that, you know, some of life lessons are problems we can solve and tensions we have to manage. So I think it's one of those, this topic that we're talking about. It's just a tension we have to manage. It's never going to be solved. It's a rubber band. It's always stretches when necessary and relaxes and then stretches again. And so
I liked that analogy. I think that, you know, there's been a lot of times when we go through different things and we will ask each other that question. Okay, is this something that can be solved, something that we solve, like it's like a finite thing, something that can be measured and solved and changed? Or is it a tension to manage, which just like you said, it's like a rubber band. It's not solvable in the point of like one and done,
right?
Fix it and it's changed, but it's this ongoing thing. Like, let's check in. Let's see. Because even the thing called Parkinson's law says that work expands to the time allotted for it. And so there's a lot of things in life that will just kind of expand to whatever you give it to. For example, my purse. Like, if I have a small one, I will fill it up with whatever it is, like minimally, but it still gets full. And yet, if I have a bigger bag, somehow that is full as well. Like, I find things that I need, quote unquote, need to fill it because I've given myself that room or that space. And then it just, oh, okay, this will fit in too. This will fit in too. And I believe that's how we are in our life.
Well, and I think that's a negative to some guys, but but the fact that you have everything right on you is awesome.
But that's how
it can be a negative. Yeah, it can be a negative or a positive because you're when your capacity, when you allow for space to grow, or when you allow this aspect of, hey, I have room for this and there's still room. So then you guess what? You get to fill it. Yep.
I mean, same thing with a house. Like we have a house, we have filled it like to the brim with children and a couple of pets, six kids, a dog and a cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And we've talked about that, like, as far as like a bigger home or more mm-hmm. space, but whatever it is, we would just end up filling it with stuff. A little warm.
I'm a little warm. It's making me warm. And
it's getting hot in here.
Yeah, same thing with that. I mean, we fill it and then you have to either be comfortable to manage that because, yeah, I can get a bigger house or we could get more garage room or build another building. And then guess what? It's going to get filled with stuff that we very rarely see or very seldom have to, even your purse analogy, you know, in an emergency. Yes.
Right.
I mean, I have one of those. Or if you're on Let's Make a Deal and they ask you for something, then you might be able to win a prize. So maybe that.
And that's great. But otherwise, well, we've done that before. I mean, just talking about that to like a storage unit.
Yep.
I mean, I don't even know. I should have looked that up. I didn't know what I was going to bring it up. But the percentage of Americans that have storage unit basically just pay for a space to hold stuff.
Right. And we drive by them every day.
And they're being built.
And they must be more people wanting to store things.
Right. But I mean, we had one
buying a new house.
At one point, we had one and it was like, okay, well, it just for this and for this for a season. And then by the time we were like, okay, it's time to close that out now, that season that we had prepared or planned for it to be, we realized we filled this thing full of just stuff just because there was space there to hold it. And
when we emptied it, we went through and got rid of a lot because we had planned to fill it with, oh, I might need it.
Right.
I grew up in a family in an age where my dad and mom, they kept everything. I mean, they went through that scarcity mentality where if I don't, there's going to come a day I need it. And so it becomes tough to just, and we get attached.
Yeah.
It's almost
to stuff. Well, today we're talking about margin.
Mm-hmm.
And this flows very well into that because there very much is this overlap between the feel or how full our home is, aka clutter, and to that feeling of margin or space. And I actually wrote it down in this book on margin. Swenson describes margin like this. Margin is the gap between our load and our limit. It's the difference between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like crazy, but good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of overload. And so I think for any of us right now, I mean, ourselves included, anyone listening, if you're feeling overloaded or overwhelmed right now, then you don't have margin.
Right.
And that's why I think it's so important to talk about and kind of why I mentioned that we've talked about this ourselves or we've talked about this in different speaking engagements and messages and different things multiple times. And yet it feels like this is a perfect season in our life for us to revisit this topic because we've lost a little bit of that margin lately, I feel like, just with the amount of things that are going on. There are times that we're like, okay, it's time to take a breath. And that's why it's so important to kind of revisit this and talk about it again and check in and kind of like you mentioned at the beginning, that tension to manage. Have we been like managing that tension or just allowed our life to fill to the space that we've allowed it to without setting a boundary that allows the white space?
Well, and I think the tension to manage is in a life sentence, a life aspect is you fill the page with the current content.
Mm-hmm.
So you built in margin, like in past, we built in margin for having another baby or having an extra baby and then having another baby. And so we revisit what margin looks like in the context of now.
Right.
So yesterday's margin doesn't fit the same as today because now I've got a kid that's older, a child that's going off to the army. So now I have to revisit how does that margin look because I filled in the space thinking it was yesterday and I'm okay with yesterday, but now today's happening and it's the ebb and flow is totally different. The dynamics change. So now I'm like, okay, now we need to revisit. Well, it's like resetting our goals. So we reset our goals based on our now. And it's always like we talked about last time, again, a snapshot. You have to know where you are to then plan where you're going to go because it's different, right? We have six children now. Our planning a vacation is different now than it was when
so
we had two.
So much different, right?
Because we could hop in a car and it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Now we have to plan. I had to have a big enough vehicle with enough luggage and enough margin to allot for all the little
and
ones,
the time,
all the dynamics, and so just in the family aspect, but in our life, it's always changing.
Yeah,
I mean, we know
what
that.
Works yesterday or what works last year might not be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, okay, sometimes that feeling of overload or feeling of overwhelm might just be that little
trigger to say, oh, okay, you know what? It might be time to look at this again, take a snapshot of what everything looks like and where do I build in this margin? Where do I allow for the white space? And I think even kind of you mentioned the page.
Right.
And I don't know, a lot of our kids are doing it now where they have these reports to write or papers to write. We did it too, sure. Where there's always like, okay, this is how the paper's supposed to look and it needs to be double spaced and allow for a 1-inch margin around all the sides. And the teachers have it set up a specific way to allow margin and white space for them to write in
notes
or edits and things like that. And it's done that way for a reason, to allow space for that to happen. And
And there's an understanding that it will happen.
Right.
That life is going to happen and you're going to need something. You're going to need a space to notate something because your thoughts are not going to always just be great. And then some new information is going to bring a new thought that says, well, I need some extra room to make this happen.
Yeah.
Or to note it, kind of like we do. If we don't have that space, then what that does, I believe, and I kept seeing this in the last 5 minutes, we were talking about a coffee cup. We get coffee in the morning and we have cups that are different sizes, but if you get one and you fill it right to the rim, man, I got all this coffee. This is awesome. I have my daily dose of whatever it is you choose to do. But if we fill it so full, that kind of holds me back to how quick I can move to the next thing, because I might spill it or I might waste it, or I'm careful because I'm right to the rim of, I'm to the border now. And now I'm slowing myself down, as opposed to maybe going half full or three quarters full, where I don't fear the loss because I have that margin built in. We just, I don't know.
Right.
I've allowed for movement.
Yeah.
But when
knowing
you're full,
that in life there is movement, knowing that in life you will move.
Knowing a child's going to bump you, knowing that you're going to put it down in the car, knowing you're, I mean, that's the simplistic.
Right. Exactly. But what that does, having margin allows you basically going in knowing that life happens, that things happen, but you've allowed this space for that to happen without causing added frustration or added loss or time loss or that overwhelm, the overload, because that's where life happens. And I really like how you said that, even like that about the margins on the paper. Yes, it's done that reason so a teacher can write in it. Why? Knowing that there will be the need for that white space. It will get filled. And when you have something, for example, a paper that's filled to the brim, it doesn't allow room for that growth or that change to happen. And kind of in that way sets that precedent that I am not allowing anything else in my life. So when something good or a good opportunity happens, there isn't room to receive it.
Yep.
When something bad happens, I'm already at the load or at the limit.
Yeah.
And so then there's this whole kind of cycle or frustration, because now I'm almost scrambling to catch up. I don't have the time to catch up. I don't have the money to catch up. I mean, that's where it is.
If
there's margin. There's margin in our finances, or there should be margin in our finances. There should be margin with our time and our schedule. There should be margin in our thoughts and like that time for us to like breathe and allow our mind to breathe and be creative.
Well, there's old proverbs that talks about there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Yeah. So, I mean, we like to think that well, it's okay because next week I'll just make it up. Mm-hmm. Next week, that's how credit card companies are built, because they know you're not going to make it up. You think you will.
And how banks survive off.
Right. Anybody. I mean, when it comes to anything, they're just like, well, I can plan on humanity taking over, and I can plan on Murphy's Law, which says that if it's going to happen, it's probably going to happen. I mean,
and it's going to happen when you're not ready for it.
Exactly.
When you don't have the space or the time or the finances to allow for that to happen.
So it allows you, and like you said, with the margin, the other word I like to use when it comes to margin, if you look at a piece of paper, it's blue margin. I believe the blue still. Blue margin is on the margin line, but it's like a guide rail.
Yeah.
And so when you bring that filter of a margin into your life, to me, they become like guardrails. And so what are guardrails? They protect you and give you space to, if you lose control of your vehicle, you hit the guide rail instead of going down off the and being off the edge where you can't come back from. You can't recover, because once you go too far, you can't recover.
Need to pick me up anytime, anywhere? I'm excited to introduce you to Better Greens, your ultimate source of all-natural energy packed with essential nutrients to power you through your day. Available in both caffeinated and non-caffeinated versions, and they come in these convenient on-the-go sticks. The secret is all about the power of nature. Better Greens contains a potent enzyme blend that aids in digestion, breaks down carbohydrates, and improves fat utilization. The kicker, though,
Each serving provides you with your daily recommended intake of fruits and vegetables. You guys, it's such a convenient way to nourish your body. What's crazy is there's actually more to it. Better greens are infused with apple cider vinegar, known to aid in mineral absorption, resist fat-storing hormones, and even boost your body's defense against infections by stimulating white blood cells. I've tried so many different greens by so many different brands, and these are by far my favorite, not just for how I feel, but because of how easy they are to mix up and how delicious the flavors actually are. If you're ready to tackle whatever life throws at you with this renewed vigor, head over to betterdays.com and use the coupon code FRESHMOMMY for an exclusive discount. That's coupon code FRESHMOMMY, FRESHMOMMY, for 10% off your ticket to a healthier, more energized you. Don't miss out, you guys. Try better greens today. Okay, so we're back for the video version of this podcast. The first probably half of this podcast will be just my face and me looking across the microphone at you, because the camera that was on Chris did not have any margin.
It reached its capacity.
And I just checked it. It reached its capacity. It recorded about 15 seconds and then it shut off, which we didn't realize. But what's funny about that is it plays really well into this episode.
Well, what's the irony? We reach capacity. What do?
I just shut off.
We shut down. We can't do anymore. Mm-hmm. We tell everybody I got to lay in bed all day. And then, you know, as our life hits that way, it just shuts us off. And instead of being any effectiveness whatsoever, you now run yourself so ragged that I can't accomplish anything, even the simplest of turning on and off barely.
Right.
And getting up in the morning. But now what if all your dreams and hopes, all the people that rely on you, all the legacy you're trying to build, everything is a complete halt.
It's just, Well, it's like that when our phone or our computer or anything starts to get full, as it just starts lagging, it starts going high, everything's running slow, and it's frustrating because there's no margin, there's no space for it to run effectively. And actually, neuroscientists now are saying that the effects of not having margin in our life, the effects on humanity today, is overall empathy is reduced.
Oh.
So there's been these studies that show, I mean, in the past 60 years, I mean, if you look at it, what a lot of people think is funny today would be stuff 60 years ago. It would be like,
that's just mean.
Right. Why would we even be laughing at that?
Right.
But overall in studies, they're showing that at the same time, our time has filled, our margin is reduced, empathy has also plummeted, which is a crazy, like, quote unquote, side effect, because there hasn't been time for us to, like, build these emotions about what is happening or what's going on around us. The other thing is imagination has plummeted as well. It's malnourished. There isn't time for it to be
nourished.
There's not space for it. And we can even see it in our own kids when we take away, like, devices or things that are bam, 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 like giving them all this stimulation, but take that away and give them time to decompress and allow white space. What happens? Their creativity and their imagination takes off at this crazy level. All of a sudden they start playing and they start playing together and
they begin to fill the space.
Right. They do, but naturally with their imagination.
Right. But it runs with your same capacity. Like, now I've made room for it. I'll fill it.
Right.
With what?
Right.
So it's easy to fill with a device or uncreative or mind numbing things, TV, binging, what have you. It's a little harder to start out and get the wheels rolling. But once momentum kicks in, we watch our children, they thrive and imaginary stuff. And like, what, you know, why aren't we doing this more often? Why aren't we allowing that? And like you said, another term, white space, allowing a blank space with nothing in it to say, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it be creative, write it down. And I think, you know, that leans itself to us. We need space to just, what am I going to do? Blank canvas. What do you mean? What am I going to do? And most of us are like, I don't even know what to do. Like the old movie, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I don't know what to do at this moment because I'm not used to having it. It's very uncomfortable to have nothing to do. And people are so driven by, I need to fill the space. They're like, man, maybe you just need to rest, you know, so you don't have to shut off.
Right.
So your rest is intentional.
Yes.
To now say, I am recharging my battery. I'm taking a minute and I'm going to do. Doesn't mean we have to even disconnect forever. It just means I'm going to change the page for a second. I'm going to redirect my energy to focus on me. And we talk about me time all the time and different places. And that fleshes out in different ways. But I love the term white space. So
exactly. Right. Giving yourself just that white space, that freedom, because things will arise whether we allow the white space or not. But when we have the white space, there is the freedom to still breathe while taking on those things.
Yep.
But at the same time, that also allows, like, there's two more things that neuroscientists are saying that without margin in our day, critical thinking goes undeveloped. Yep. And then again, innovation and creativity are diminished. So that those four kind of side effects of not having margin in our lives, the reduced empathy, the reduced imagination, critical thinking, and innovation and creativity, all those things are diminished or reduced when we don't allow the white space. And yet when we build that in, it gives us the freedom to breathe. Like that quote at the beginning, the difference between the freedom to breathe and suffocating is margin.
Right.
I mean, where do I want to live? I want to live with that white space. I know you mentioned earlier when, you know, the camera thing wasn't quite working.
About the blue lines.
The blue lines of margin on the page.
Yeah, because I mean, over the years we've talked about, you know, we look at the street you drive on and we see guide rails for a reason. Why? Or they're there so that you don't cross too far. You don't go to a place you're not supposed to go or that's detrimental to you. So I think a guide rail, I think of the mountains in California or what have you, and you have rails. Why? Because some people have been saved by the guardrail because it stopped them from going too far.
Mm-hmm.
And so on our page, we see that they call it white space. They call it margin. They call it a space that's protecting you from going off the edge.
Yes.
Because that's what we need. And most people are living on the edge, like the song says, right? I love 80s songs, but we're living on the edge. Like,
you can find one for every reference.
Help myself from falling is what the words say. So it's like, why? Well, because people love this adrenaline issue of, I feel, and I don't know about you, I grew up watching, you know, I'm in the 80s there. I watched in Wall Street and different ones and this high-powered movement of, if you're not busy, you're not doing something. You're not making differences.
Culture,
there's a hustle idea that, well, I'm busy. I have all these things to do. And I'm like, yeah, but you have no time to enjoy your life. You say you're enjoying it, but I'll sleep when I'm dead. Really? No, you'll be dead a lot sooner because you won't sleep. And so there is a balance to it. I don't want to not be motivated to do things, but at the same time, being able to change focus or being able to give myself or grant myself a place. You know, some people call it a day of rest or a recharging time, and giving yourself ample opportunities to do so is so healthy. Like I said, and science is finally catching up to the old adage of, hey, let's just sit on the porch and chill out, you know, and just watch people and hang out, the old culture of community.
Yeah.
After dinner, we just hang out on the porch. The kids run around. It's a white space.
Yes, right. I think there's a couple of ways to look at it. I mean, one of them is the book that I'm kind of going through again, A Minute to Think.
Yeah.
And really just talking about that, sometimes we get so focused on, I mean, I'm a list person, I love lists, but I'll get so focused on that you get one thing done and cross it off and jump right to the next thing without even taking a minute to think.
Yeah.
As far as like, when I'm able to just sit and think for a moment, then it can even look like, okay, what's the priority? What's the next most important thing? Or even allow the creativity to flow, where maybe this happens in a new way, but if I'm not allowing any white space or any time or any thinking time, I can jump into the next thing and it just becomes a task or a chore, but doesn't have any of that creativity or innovation behind it. Like we just talked about, all of that's reduced without the white space. And so it just kind of is like this task-driven culture, that hustle culture, but where did the creativity go or the flow for it? So even then, maybe the work that I'm putting out isn't even as effective or helpful for someone else, or you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, we're kind of just putting out this partial, I'm trying to say it not in a crass way, but like this half done work because we're just
trying to
putting out the work instead of allowing ourselves the time to think and be creative in the work or in whatever it is that we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, we can go from, I think, a mundane to magnificent, depending on, like I said, we started things, even the work we do started as a passion. Like, I love this. This is awesome. Let's do this A, B, and C. I have photos and technology and podcasts. But as time goes on in your calendar, you're like, I have to do this again, or I have to do this because it's necessary. And we rob ourselves of the joy that originally intended because we didn't give ourselves the space. It was like, no, I get to do this. This is so cool.
Right.
But going from task to task robs you of that because you're like, well, and then you're spending energy. I mean, they even talk about studies at work where, you know, work days for 8 hours, if they don't have breaks between, they have a lunch break. And
yeah,
but wait a second. If they did studies where they said if 45 minutes of work, take 15 minute break every hour, they were more productive throughout the day to have this minute to unwind, to detach from what I'm thinking of, go back, revisit it. Now I'm a fresh eyes. For whatever reason, your mind gets to reset. And it's just like refreshing your page in a website or
right.
What have you. Same difference.
Without that computer lagging. That's the frustrating thing. Well, and I think also there is a thing, something I feel like learning or working on for years is the art of saying no and being able to say no gracefully. And I almost kind of naturally fall back into yes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we feel like the nice person would say yes. Or I could criticize myself or get on myself for feeling like I'm being mean and saying no. And yet it's detrimental to myself or my family and the people around me to always say yes, without having it in this guardrails or guide rails, like you mentioned. Like, where are my priorities at? And I get to decide where my priorities at. And lately, that's where I've been, is deciding, okay, I know for me that my family comes above anything else, and my home over other relationships, over other friendships, even over other business projects. And that's the season of life I'm in, where there's times that, you know, there's something I was hearing the other day talking about pacing and our pacing in life. And to some could look at the pace of my life or what I'm doing and be like, wow, she does so much stuff. She does all these things. Where to others, they could look at it and be like, what is she doing with her time? But I know that I'm in a season of life with currently six kids still at home.
Right.
One is about to leave the nest, but that still leaves five at home. I know that I'm in a season of life of my home and my household and my family are my number one priority. And then other things, I have a lot of passions. These other things are still things I want to put my time into, but I need to align my priorities in that order to still allow for white space.
Sure.
You know, which means saying no sometime. But learning to say no gracefully is great and fine. But really, I think that's a big part of white space, is learning that, the art of no.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes, you know, it goes back to those same things of just because I can do something doesn't mean I should. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of capacity. You know, somebody were to start loading me up with stuff and say, yeah, I can handle it for the minute.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Well, can I give you this for a minute? I guess I can handle it. But after a while, you're gonna falter or fail. Mm-hmm. And just because we can, you know what, a lot of times, even as a younger, you know, single guy making money or whatever, and people would say, hey, I'm going to go out and do this. In my mind, I could see that I had the money to do something. I had the money there to say yes to. But long term, if I were to look at my budget saying, well, the budget says I shouldn't do that because I should be planning those dollars somewhere else, which then because of the budget we develop, we say, well, it's not that I can't do it. It's I'm choosing not to do it because of A, B, and C coming up. So I'm giving myself the space so that I want to enjoy my 2 months from now just as much as today. So I'm going to say no to this at the moment, not because I can't or, oh, it's horrible with me. And so we get in this same thing, scarcity mentality, like, well, the time is now, so I'm going to do it. And we feel like white space is dead space. And that's an error in our mind that tries to fill in the gap to say we should be doing something. Well, you don't have to, you know, why can't we just enjoy the downtime? Why can't we do what some of our kids do? And we're more in a hurry and they stop and enjoy the flowers.
Right.
I remember Braden doing that all the time. We're like, we're running late because of our margin.
Right. We didn't.
And he wants
margin.
To stop and enjoy the beauty of a flower on the ground as we're running to school. We're like, what are you doing? We have to go. We can't enjoy the beauty. We have to get to our next task. And it kind of runs the day in. You're like, why am I saying that? What is wrong with me? Right. That I can't stop and enjoy the beauty of my surroundings. The thing I walk through every day that I can't enjoy the moments to where I want to go as much as where I'm going. So I feel that's what white space offers, is this just intentionality to think through, build it. It doesn't mean it has to be an hour and a half a day. It doesn't mean it has to be more than 5 minutes at times because you say, let's just, and we talk about breathing exercises, controlling our breathing. I mean, there's so many things out there that, that just we've learned. And yes, it can be overwhelming because I know we talk about that. Like, well, I'm supposed to do 10 minutes of breathing, and then I got a 30-minute exercise, then I got 40 minutes of cardio every day, and then I got to make sure I'm eating right. And it can be very overwhelming and still somehow get 8 hours sleep while having kids and stuff. Now, I mean, it's not all possible, But to have that breathing room to enjoy, say, okay, I'm just going to, it's okay to make space to make it happen because we all need it.
And like you said, sometimes you all got white space as dead space, but it's the opposite. I mean, that's truly living to be able to say, yes, we're going here, but we get to enjoy the views. We get to enjoy this along the way.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've set up margin in our lives, in time and in finances and in our energy and in all these other ways. And so I think getting down like practical.
Yeah, see, okay, text. Then, what does that all mean?
Yeah. So then, okay, what does that look like? How do I set up white space? And I think there are some questions to ask yourself. And one of the first one is, what really matters?
Yeah.
And that's where I mentioned before, getting down to my priorities being my family, my home life, and then these other things. Obviously, there has to be a job and work in there because finances do need to come in. But in all of these things, what really matters? And shifting the focus to say, it doesn't have to look like everyone else. Like I mentioned, my pace is different, that I can't compare myself to other people because I've done that and I still do that, or get into that and look at, oh my goodness, look at all that she's doing, realizing, okay, wait, I'm in a season of life with children. This person might not be. Or, you know, so where maybe I might be feeling too slow, or then other times where, oh, I would love some of that downtime. What really matters? Ask yourself that question first.
Sure.
What in my life truly matters? And allow yourself to let go of or say no to some of the things that aren't as high on the priority list. And saying no doesn't mean it's a forever no.
Yep. Well, I think you have to remind yourself of that, because most people like, well, I mean, now I never get to eat sugar. Now I never get to do that. Now I never get to, no, that's not what we're saying.
It just means no right now.
Put it off.
As I'm building this margin, or like you said, financially.
Sure.
There can be times where we're saying no. And it doesn't mean forever or every time.
Right.
It means right now, in this moment, in this day, the answer is no.
And if you can make, you know, I love going back to the movie, What About Bob? It does baby steps. So shameless plug on that, one of my favorite movies. But the baby steps, the small obtainable goals that most people try to bite off too much. Well, I want to go A and do this. Okay, so I'm just going to not do anything cold turkey again. Well, that becomes very unrealistic to the nature of humanity. So like, you know, for finances, we started years ago, just a small portion. We do better now than we ever did.
Yeah.
Of, I know Christmas comes every year. We always get to the year and go, we want to have Christmas for ourselves, for our families. We have dinners, all these things we want to do during the season is one of our favorite seasons, but somehow we don't have the money to set aside for it. So in January, we started the one thing, I think even your blog has it, the reverse savings.
You know, yes.
What, week one is $1, week two is $2, and you just eventually you have $1,200 sitting in the account if you can follow that.
Right.
But it's a baby step thing. What does it mean? I put $2 away. Big deal. Well, just do it.
Yep.
It's a small step. And guess what? Before you know it, July is here and you're like, oh, I'm halfway there and I've got at least something.
Much, yes.
You know, even if you don't.
December, November or December rolls around, you're not feeling the
pinch.
Stress or the pinch because you've created that margin.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what that does is now that snowballs into, I've got this relief. That's not on my mind anymore.
Yeah.
Now I can focus on my kids. What is the season about? Mm-hmm. What is it really we want to do? Mm-hmm. Let's do an experience or listen. And the same thing with your physical goal. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, take a small goal and say, this is going to be attainable and realistic. So what can I do right now? Now we talked about the gym. We started doing that, you know, a few months back, and I read things about, just tell yourself you're going to go. You don't even have to stay there. Just show up.
Yep.
Go there and say, I'm going to be there for 5 minutes and leave. But you begin to ingrain this habit that forms in humanity that says, well, I'm already here. So then it becomes more time and you begin to enjoy it and you see the effects and change. And you say, well, this isn't as bad as I once thought because it isn't so big. You know, you can't eat an elephant one bite at a time. You can't eat it the whole time.
I talked about that in the episode about procrastination.
Yep.
And the two different fives. The countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. There's because there's that 5 seconds where your brain will try to stop you from
which
doing something.
I have been utilizing ever since I heard it. So
he does.
I love it.
It's like, all right, let's do it. And then 5 minutes. Like if it's something that you're really not looking forward to, set a timer for 5 minutes and start there. And a lot of times it's just the initial get going that makes it harder. And that kind of, I think, takes us into the next question or the next thing in allowing or starting to set yourself up for white space. The first is ask yourself what really matters. And the second is to consider decluttering. And that's, I think, where that 5 minute countdown and the 5 minute timer could really help. But consider decluttering from everything. I kind of talked about at the beginning, your home, because that really creates a space. There's so many studies that show how that relates to like mm-hmm. how your attitude is and how sure. your thinking is, but then also with your thoughts and with your emotions and with your reactions. It's too easy to have too much stuff in our life and in our home. So as we're going through this, these steps of decluttering, which I think mm-hmm. is important, continue to ask yourself this question, will this really make me happier? Mm. And like we talked about, even at the beginning, going through to clean out that storage unit.
Sure.
That was what some of the things, do we really need this? Does right. this improve our life? Does this make us happier? Or are we just paying to hold on to something right. that we really right. don't need in our life anymore? And just the act of starting to declutter our stuff has given us a lot more freedom, that breathing room. Just getting rid of stuff almost makes you able to take more of a breath. And in our home, as it gets cluttered, I almost feel this tightness coming. And then as we're able to like clean up or declutter and just like... Yep. And so really those questions, what really matters? And then will this really make me happier? Hmm. Think about it in the terms of thoughts and emotions too. If I'm holding on to anger, right. does that really make me happier? Is that really giving me the outcome? If I'm upset with someone, is holding on to the anger right. in my body and feeling it, does that help? Right. Does that help my situation with them? Does that fix it? Does it really make me happier or more free or have breathing room in my life? Or is it just affecting me in a negative way? So it's time to declutter those things, you know?
Well, and if you could think of clutter as distraction, like we were leaving the house today, you know, to head out the house to do our stuff. And your eyes spot things that are out of place. And you're like, oh, I want to put that away because, A, I don't want to deal with it when I come home at the same time. So this is just one example, but you see little things. All these little things can be distractions. They're considered clutter. What do? They rob us of a focus.
Yeah,
that we really intend and really what's bringing us joy. And I'm about to do something I want to do, but I'm distracted by the little things that I've allowed because of maybe margin. I didn't put in. Maybe last night I should have had the kids help me pick up or when they get it up and the dishes are still in the sink when I could have did it last night and I had time, but I was tired and all these other things. But I like it, you know, because when we declutter, we get rid of the obstacles, that get rid of the things that distract us from what we're supposed to be doing.
I like that.
And it allows us to focus and take inventory and say, okay, now I have room for these really cool things that I was thinking about, or I've been dreaming about this. Now I have room to do it because there's things that come up and say, we don't have room to do that.
Yeah.
But why? Because there's things that don't belong that were yesterday's dreams that were already whatever space. We made space for before because it worked. But now we change up kids' bedrooms all the time because they grow and there's a new need.
Yes. Yeah.
So the same principle. We have to manage our lives. Like I said, with attention goes right back to don't try to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Because solving it you're not going to be able to.
It'll feel like you solve it for a moment, but just like we talked about, it changes as our life changes, or it can creep back in because if we allow space without intentionally choosing what we do with it,
sure.
life will just fill it. You know, it just like our homes. So,
it'll frustrate you to try to solve a problem that isn't a problem.
That's true. Right. Like how?
It doesn't work. Well, because it's always moving, it's a moving target, it's never going to be hit. So, you can't just solve it by, I'm going to do this decision and it's going to work. No.
I'm because just going to get up earlier and all the
doesn't get fixed.
Time margin.
It might work temporarily. It might be a temporary fix, but then eventually you're like, okay, this didn't work because now it changed again. And they're like, wait a second. So as we understand that it's attention to manage and we understand I won't get frustrated. It's like, okay, well, this is kind of like Franklin. This way didn't work. So now I've got to figure out a way that will. I'm going to try it and that's okay. We're all made to fail and try again, get up and you got to figure out. That's why I give them to your spouse. Say, look, I'm really frustrated with A, B, and C. What do I do? How can I give myself room to do the things I want to do instead of just running away or not coming home and hiding? And, well, where'd you go? Well, I had to hang out with someone. Well, okay, I understand why you're doing it, but it's at the detriment of something else. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to decline something because I feel this need for white space, but I'm not sure what to call it. And so having a communication with your spouse or significant other, because we all need it. And once we recognize that, then we can battle this thing and say, okay, we got to manage. You need your time. I need my time. I need to figure out your dreams, my hopes. We could do it together.
But let's allow you to have white space, me to have white space, and even for our kids to as well.
But all we're doing, if we don't allow that, we're just setting ourselves up to crash off the cliff.
Yeah.
And then you get into health issues and the stress and all those things that go. I mean, we know how stress kills more than anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's all wrapped into one. It's all cool, cohesive.
And right.
That all affects
margin and so forth. And then I think even just talking about it, I'm sure we could go on forever about it. But that's just why it's so important to talk about it. And really, I think for walking away today, saying, okay, if I've been feeling overwhelmed or overloaded, it comes down to this. There's not margin.
Yep.
There's not white space. Yep. So I need to ask myself what really matters and then move towards decluttering, which means in all of it, in our finances, does this really make me happier or is it something I can release?
Right.
You know, in our time, does this make me happier or is it something I can release? In the stuff in our home, does this make me happier or is it something I can release? Yeah. In our emotions, does this make me happier or is it something? I mean, really, every area of in our health, does this make me happier or is it something I can release?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the hardest ones because, yes, there are times where I feel like Dr. Pepper and French fries make me happier.
Yeah.
But really, does it make me feel better in the long term? You know, getting up at 5 a.m. and going to the gym.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time, no.
There's a big difference between mood booster and happiness or true joy.
Yes. And again, I'm not saying cut all of it off because I don't know that I'll ever completely quit Dr. Pepper. Just throwing that out there.
Maybe you should get sponsored.
Maybe I should. Dr. Pepper, are you listening? but also choosing where and when. And I am actively choosing to fill most of my time and space with healthier choices lately. Yeah. And my greens and water and all the other things. And then allowing that for times, but not relying on it as a thing to make me happier.
Right.
And I think that's the difference.
True.
And that's the question that we need to be asking today. What really matters? Will this really make me happier? And begin to release it. So really like decluttering
and honestly, it's
debt are going to be big ways to build in margin.
And I think everybody listening, whoever's here listening, I mean, we all have room to make room. We all have our lives filled with stuff. And hopefully, maybe you're not. Maybe we got it figured out and you're like, oh, I have larger built in and I'm great.
Yeah.
But there's always an ebb and flow to that to make sure you're staying on course. Mm-hmm. It's always checking in on yourself and because it becomes just too easy in our culture to overwhelm us. Back in the day, it probably wasn't. There's not as much stuff to
fill it.
That was just.
Yeah.
But now we just have so many things that fight for attention and it becomes real easy to get distracted with it. And overwhelmed. And then now I missed out on 10 years of my life and I don't know what's going on.
I don't want that for us.
No,
I don't want
all.
That for you.
Anybody.
Whoever's listening. So if you're like us and life is in the middle of teaching you that lesson, maybe you've been feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Maybe you've been feeling a little bit burnt out. It's time for margin. And so send us a message. You can message us on Instagram at Tabitha Blue. Or at Radiant Womanhood, because we want to encourage you. Let us know that you're on the journey with us and we can give you some encouragement. Let us know where you're at in that always. And again, if you have questions or things that you'd like us to answer, if you have questions for Chris and you want him back on another episode, send us a message as well. Let us know what you want to hear about, what you want us to talk about.
And hopefully, to lastly wrap it up, hopefully this opens a conversation. Hopefully it empowers you to make a conversation, even with your close friendships.
Yeah.
Because I believe there's power in letting people in to what you're going through.
Mm.
That's not like, hey, you'll come hear my sad tale or whatever. No. But look, I've been finding in my life, these are priorities now. Can you help me as my friend make sure this happens too? And maybe they're looking for somebody, but they want to have the conversation. Like, well, if we're both on the same page that we're creating, we're not going to get offended that you said no, because I understand why you're saying no.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes very much easier to have a conversation like, no, today's my family time and I've got to have some space to just recharge. And, oh, no, I get it. Other than being offended, well, they have a reason for doing it. Well, no, I have a good reason for saying no. It's not because I just don't want to hang out or whatever. But I think if we open that, if more people talked about it, it would be so much more beneficial to all relationships. And then the empathy would then begin to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And man, what a fulfilling relationship and friendships we'd have I want the best for you.
Yep.
So I want you to have your white space. I want you to build margin in. I don't want you to be struggling. So
quick plug, go back to our last episode together where we talked all about relationships and friendships and how to build good ones. And that segues right in if you hadn't listened to that yet.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I think our time is up. We are taking a lot of time of y'all, but thank you so much for listening, for joining in today, and see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Radiant Womanhood. If you want more, head on over to radiantwomanhood.com for show notes
And if you enjoyed this episode, I'd be so grateful if you could take a few moments to rate and review the show. Don't forget to hit the follow button to stay updated on our latest episodes. Friend, I love hearing from you, so shoot me a DM at Instagram at Radiant Womanhood or at Tabitha Blue to carry on the conversation. And if you believe the remarkable women in your life could benefit from this episode, share the link with them to spread the love. Until next time, friend, keep shining.